This is Robert Reed, and from the time you get up in the morning until 9, Richard Mock and I team up to bring you all the Motor City news, sort of like your own personal newspaper of the air, except we don't put a rubber band around it. With correspondents in every major city, at home and around the world, the WDRQ information team brings you all the news as it happens, with all the facts presented so you'll know what's happening. Sports, national and local news, what happened on Wall Street yesterday, and what's going to happen today. While you enjoy this documentary of Detroit Broadcasting, we of the WDRQ information team are preparing for our contribution to Detroit Radio. Join me mornings till 9 to find out just what did happen while you were asleep. No loud music or machine gun delivery, just what happened and why it's interesting to you. Robert Reed on cue. WDRQ Detroit. $5,000 cash could be yours, and all you have to do is answer your phone with I Listen to the Good News on WDRQ-FM. We could be calling you, so remember, when your phone rings, don't say hello, say I Listen to the Good News on WDRQ-FM and win $5,000.
Acid rock, progressive rock, underground, call it what you will, it looks like it's here to stay for a while. John Detz, general manager at WABX, tells us how it all came about.
Basically, we've just begun to see an evolution in radio. The evolution of this type of radio can be not only used in rock, but also in MOR, middle-of-the-road music, and classical talk. It's an attitude difference, basically, beginning with this concept of a people-to-people radio, a station that doesn't try to shroud itself into the showbiz glamour that a lot of broadcasting has in the past. We're very honest on the air. We make a mistake. We admit it. We're pretty open with our listeners about the things that we're doing, we want to do, and some of the areas that we're not that interested in getting into. But from a standpoint of where progressive rock radio is right now in Detroit, this is just really what we're seeing right now in the last 3 years. It's just the beginning. A lot of birth pains, a lot of growing situations that we've done in the last 3 years. We've solved problems. There are a lot of problems yet coming up that we're going to have to solve.
It's King Crimson in a couple of tracks. First we heard Moonchild. That's the long thing with just occasional random little guitar plunks and cymbal things. And then that song there called Cascade, which is from the second King Crimson album. And Moonchild is from their first album, the one called An Observation by... Oh, no, that's not what it's called. It's called In the Court of the Crimson King, An Observation by King Crimson. And then Cascade. And I think that the original group was all together on both of these, right? On the second album. Well, anyway, King Crimson, most of the original guys there. And some very quiet, sort of spacey tunes. Usually they're very high energy and loud. Thought we'd play some of the quiet, pretty ones by King Crimson today. 2 minutes after 1, WABX in Detroit. Dave Dixon here with records until 2, and Mark Perino at 2, and Chris at 6, Jim Dalzo at 10, and Larry Monroe all night, plus Jerry Goodwin mornings from 7 to 11, and then me. That's it, 24 hours a day here at ABX.
Mr. Detz also had something to say about Detroit radio.
There are several major cities like New York and Chicago where radio's been in trouble for years because there hasn't been the diversity that's been in the Detroit radio, nor because of the fact that the cities are so large and a good number of the stations can do a sloppy job and still make some money at it. There hasn't been the need for an aggressive change. Where in Detroit, there has been. Some of the major, largest radio stations in the city have been losing enormous sums of money. And that necessitates, from a business standpoint, a look at the whole total spectrum and a change.
And Mr. Detz also gave us an interesting thought or two concerning FM radio in Detroit.
Well, I think that to a large extent, it's incorporating the birth of a brand new radio audience. Back in 68, when we first went on with the format here, there was barely enough listeners to support one radio station. And in the 3 years since then, the format has grown so successfully that now we have basically, 2.5 stations? You know, doing it. One station just recently switched, CJOM, and of course we just don't know, you know, where that will fit in as far as our section of the pie. of the vast listenership out there. We're going to continue to try to be the best damn radio station in the city and serving our listeners and our community the best way possible. RIF will keep us on our toes, and that's what radio is all about.
John Detz, general manager at WABX. We spoke to Dick Kernan at WRIF, who takes a stab at explaining the difference between progressive rock and top 40 radio.
I think progressive rock radio in Detroit is probably as good as it is any place else in the country. It differs from market to market. Some stations are much more top 40 than this market. Some stations are much more esoteric than this market. But basically, I think ourselves and ABX are two of the better alternative FM stations in the country.
Yeah, don't let nobody turn you around. You had to keep on walking, you had to keep on talking, keep on marching to the freedom land. Steve Miller Band from Your Saving Grace, that album on WRIF Detroit. Okay, my name's Art Penhallow. It's 1 o'clock. For those of you who are just waking up, hi, how are you?
It's basically rock and roll radio. It is not, in many aspects, significantly different than Top 40 was when it first came out. The parallels between early Top 40 or formula radio and what is commonly called underground or alternative FM radio, the parallels are really amazing. Having lived through both things myself, I see many parallels. FM, progressive rock, is the logical extension of Top 40. I think Top 40 stopped growing about 2 years ago, and FM has just grown to fill a need that was unmet by Top 40 stations because they were cloistered. They were not aware that their own kind of brassy, hard sell had outlived its effectiveness and are really almost to this day still laboring under what I, and this is strictly my opinion, but I feel that they are being lulled into a sense of false security by their incredibly large ratings.
Kernan also tells us why the love idea with a fellow named Brother John was canceled.
A lot of people were under the impression that this would work because there was an assumption that all markets were identical in this format, that it really didn't make much difference whether it ran in Detroit or Frisco or L.A. The fact that he never says Detroit, that he never makes any reference to Woodward Avenue or Michigan Avenue or, you know, any of the surrounding suburbs or the local colleges or things of local interest, works against you in the long run. It may not be immediately obvious. In fact, it is most certainly not immediately obvious to people, but in the long haul, it comes off as a kind of sterile presentation.
Dick Kernan feels that Detroit is an exciting radio town.
After 15 years in broadcasting in Detroit, without sounding like a chauvinist about Detroit, I think that Detroit is probably one of the most exciting radio markets in the country on a consistent level.
Dick Kernan, WRIF. Bill Lockridge, general manager at WRIF, talks about FM radio in Detroit.
Detroit's a very funny market for FM. There's 18 stations here, as you know. I don't think there's any station that has a big lead on anybody. It's pretty fragmented right down the line. Everybody has just a little piece here, a little piece there. But nothing like a New York or a WOR or NEW, PLJ. These stations all have 15 shares, 13 shares at night, compared to what AMs used to have. This town hasn't done it yet, but I think it's right around the corner.
Bill Lockridge, general manager, WRIF. John Small, general manager at WKNR-FM.
It's a hell of an idea, you know, the underground. And it's sort of too bad that I think eventually it will self-destruct itself because the underground is no longer underground. I think that's a misnomer. The jocks in underground radio today are paid as much as AM guys and FM guys. They ask for more bread. They run around in Corvettes. They have $400 a month apartments. And then they scream about anti-establishment. It's sort of a fun thing. It's the kind of a thing in terms of self-destruction that there are underground stations that do become successful. And I guess success in the area of radio is to make money, I guess, and to be popular and get ratings. But generally speaking, that is not part of what is considered an anti-establishment movement. I had worked at ABX for about 5.5 years, and it's very strange because when we started the underground, everybody said, gee, where did I come from? Well, I'd been there for 3.5 years, and we had played the old Doris Day records with John Detz, and Danny Carlisle at that time, I guess, was working in a construction trailer, and consequently, everybody was just waiting for the big move, and we had an opportunity to make it. When we came here, I believed that the corporation here was a professional one. I guess I'm a professional. I think that I am. And it had turned into what I considered a ripoff. And as a result of being a ripoff, I didn't feel that the public should have been ripped off. And so consequently, we stopped it right there and then.
John Small, general manager at WKNR-FM. Dan Gooding, a former sales manager for WABX, has some interesting observations on Detroit radio from an underground viewpoint. Dan?
Detroit, amazingly enough, looking at it from a socioeconomic standpoint, or looking at it as a survey team would, it would appear on the surface, and the surface only, to be a blue-collar market, first of all. Basically, Detroit is wheels. It's a city of cars. The second you accept that fact, you assume that Detroit's a blue-collar market. So you look at the Detroit radio market, and you figure, well, the biggest selling thing has first got to be country. There's probably a big middle of the road, and Top 40's doing well. The amazing thing was that Detroit was one of the first cities in the country to get into progressive rock. There's an underground movement in Detroit that that truly is underground. I suppose it's suppressed to the extent that it's not accepted by the majority of people in Detroit. Yet, from the time we changed WABX over to progressive rock, we were within the black. Within 3 months, we had changed the status of a station that for 6 years had been running in the red. Shortly on the heels of that, of course, John Small left and took over the general managership of KNR, went underground with that. Wixie FM was getting into the ABC Love concept, which was a bummer out front, but finally they modified and stylized into enough personality that the last I had heard of Riff and the Riff Wreckers up there, they were making money. Detroit really is a tremendous underground market. There's some fantastic things going on in Detroit, but it gets overshadowed by one, people's first impression of Detroit, and second, the fact that it's the Motown sound, which from the very beginning you think, you know, what are freaks doing in Detroit? It is tremendous how many freaks are in Detroit.
Boy, does he put a bottom in that group, man. The speakers were buzzing. Lenny Lee Goldsmith on the keyboards, and of course Frosty doing on drums and traps and bells and weirdnesses. Okay, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. This is WABX in Detroit.
The Detroit radio market is both good and bad. I think it tends to be bad for the listeners. As a salesman on the street, it isn't any different than any other market. You think, why are there this many radio stations? But the second you begin to analyze it, there really aren't. The listener loses first because there's not an extreme competitive picture. Take Los Angeles. You've got 96 radio stations in the metropolitan area, if you're including Orange County. Even in Houston, you're somewhere around 45 radio stations, but Detroit's really a handful, a dozen that are making any kind of impact on the market. So it's easy to set in Detroit with a bad format and survive. Half of the stuff in Detroit could move into Los Angeles, and the station could be in receivership in 90 days. In Detroit, it can last for years. Look at the number of stations in the market. And you go to that market, you're going to find that station, not that station, but that market has radio stations that are the most innovative in new programming concepts, new formats. They've got to be, just by basis of survival. In Detroit, it's easy to survive.
Dan Gooding, probably one of the most free-form DJs ever to come down the pike around here, was Joey Reynolds. Joey lasted 6 months at WXYZ from April to September of 1966. But he, along with a lot of you, remember that time well.
The American Broadcasting Company got a little bit nervous when I made fun of the sponsors, and I always objected to the fact that there were too many commercials on the radio. We were doing something like 22 commercials an hour, and I always thought that was just a bit much. Plus, at 25 after the hour, we had ABC Flair, or whatever it was called. 5 minutes before the hour, we had news. Quarter on and quarter after the hour, we had weather. And then people would say, I talk too much. And I'd say, well, if you break it down, we have 22 minutes of commercials, we have 5 minutes of ABC News, we have 5 minutes of Flair. I said, what do you mean I talk too much? Lucky I didn't have a chance to be on the air.
Hello.
Who said, give me liberty or give me death?
No doubt a married man.
Whoa! Yeah!
Now, when you decide to buy on your Honda, you know, service and parts are important, so look to Detroit's official headquarters, the three Detroit Honda stores, Eastland, Northwest, or Warren Honda. You meet the nicest people under a Honda.
Great Scott, Robin. After riding the Bat Ride at Edgewater Park, the Batmobile feels as tame as a kitten.
Lee Allen hired me. He is the program director, and of course, Lee had been the number one disc jockey in Detroit for many years. He and Joe Sebastian and WXYZ had always been the dominant station. Lee decided that he wanted to get off the air, so he eased off and he phased himself out. And I'll never forget how surprised I was when I walked into the room and saw a guy by the name of Pat Murphy and a guy by the name of Dave Prince and a guy by the name of Mark Avery. And all these people were a little bit older than I was, and I thought, gee, aren't they kind of old to be playing records?
So take us back a couple of years, huh? You probably remember a disc jockey by the name of Tom Clay introducing this song by Brenda Lee on WXYZ, although that was not the station. It's called I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I think you hit the cue a little better than that. Let's try it again, otherwise I won't feel confused. Hitting a cue meaning that I talk over the instrumental portion of the song until the vocalist begins, and by the time she starts singing, I should have shut up with what I have to say. And the closer you get, the better disc jockey you are. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Brenda Lee sings I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Two tries. I got to try it again now.
See what you get for being smart?
No, well, no, really. I can do it.
You can meet them. I can do it. Why don't you try your whole routine over it?
All right, my whole show, right? The best of Joey Reynolds goes 3 minutes, you know. We'll run that on Sunday night. 26 after 9 o'clock, and this is a million-dollar sound for Brenda Lee. You and me, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Is that not close enough? We got to get it closer? Really? All right, that was just a little bit of a hair of a pause in there. All right, one more time. If I don't make it this time, I'll hang up my disc jockey strap and leave, you know. This is Brenda Lee to sing her million-dollar sound on WXYZ, I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry.
So we asked Joey why it is that people want to be disc jockeys in the first place.
Frankly, being a disc jockey today is a bore because I don't think one becomes a disc jockey for glamour. Your first day on the air, you realize that the glamour is only in your head when you're not doing the show. But as is the case, I'm in Hollywood now with movie stars, you find that they enjoy very little pleasure from the glamour. They enjoy the pleasure from actually giving, from doing the work. And that has been the case in being a disc jockey. But today there is not any reason to be a disc jockey because you cannot be creative and you cannot enjoy the work as much as you could have then. But there will come another cycle, as is always the case. The cycle of personalities will be back, and this sterile machine-type operation will be erased. And then, of course, after the personalities bore everybody again, then the cycle of the sterility will be back. But that's the way it is.
Tonight's bedtime story, we're all set to go with, so if you have any kiddies in the house, maybe you're babysitting tonight, or maybe you're just trying to get rid of the kids. All right, get them close to the radio at 1270 on the dial, and our bedtime story tonight is Woody Woodpecker and his talent show, a continuing series. We interrupt Peyton Place for this message from As the World Turns. No, no. Ladies and gentlemen, the Joey Reynolds bedtime story. Now pay close attention.
Okay, the three little pigs singing the Blue Danube Waltz.
I'm from Buffalo, which is similar to Detroit in that I found Detroit and Buffalo to be the two most radio-conscious cities I've ever been in. The people in the city, in both cities, they're industrial towns, so the people lead average lives. They lead very healthy, normal 8-hour workday lives, and they enjoy disc jockeys, and they enjoy radio. And Detroit has always been this way.
WXYZ, the last four letters of the alphabet. It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock right now, and I've always considered WXYZ to be one of the great stations of the nation. About 4 years ago, it was my lifetime ambition to come to work here. And very proudly, the people in the radio industry voted me disc jockey of the year 2 years ago. And I thought then I would like to work at WXYZ because it seemed like such a great station. And finally, I'm here. And it's really great because I've always considered Detroit to be one of the grooviest cities in the world. And the guys and gals here I know are the most swinging. And for my good friends, like Tom Clay, for instance, he says, everybody here is great. You'll love it here. Dick Clark, everybody says it's just great. You know, it's the greatest city. So I'm so proud to be with you every night between 9 and midnight. And I want you to do one thing. I want you to swear allegiance to WXYZ. If you swear allegiance to Wixie, I'll swear allegiance to you, and I'll do anything in the world for you guys and gals. And you give us a call tonight at 356-5630, 356-5631, and welcome us to Detroit. And we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot of things that have never been done before in Detroit radio, and we're going to have the swinginest radio station in the entire world right here in the Motor City.
What's the weather going to be on WXYZ?
Okay, let's check it here. The temperature 61, wind south 12 miles, humidity 87%. Is that relative humidity, meaning you're not going to have any company? Showers any early tonight, mild with a low of 56. Tomorrow, Wednesday, scattered showers or thunder showers, warmer at a high of 74. Yes, sir. Showers or thunder showers ending Wednesday night with a low of 58. Thursday, partly cloudy and cooler, and lake warnings are displayed, which means to watch out where you're going, stupid.
Ba-da, ba-da.
Yeah, what's up, Doc? The ratings.
Monday,
former number one song in XYZ.
This presentation has spanned the past 20 years of Detroit radio broadcasting. Here now is a two-minute montage highlighting this six-hour documentary.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
get it on!
Yeah, this is the Big Bad Bird, and for the next 3 hours, we're going to be bobbing with Robin.
Wonderful WXYZ.
This is Brett Bull.
Or the Chuck Richards Union of Music, Local 106.
All asleep.
I could get real dirty about this.
There, here's Crowley and Company. Good morning, you.
On the number 10 song in Detroit of the Jerry Goodwin Show.
And I blast in with a Rodney Rodent joke.
You're on the Swing and Sweeney Show. That's hardly pretty.
Coming in the AM, Mark Avery.
With the power, on with your hitline request.
BKLW.
I want you to consider the Motor Cities your happening place.
Motown Sound.
Just ahead of much more music.
This is Don Patrick.
The tower is falling down.
The old bear is shining in.
Hi, this is Ed Bush, and this is the swinging Sunday sound of WLIN.
I'm Ron Rose. Thanks a lot for being here.
Now until midnight in Detroit.
9:30 on the Tom Shannon Show.
Black is bad, white is good. Black man. Ooh.
WJLB right on time.
Full power. Black power.
Slick Curtain Show from WKNR, Kita 13.
IG Creepers, Uncle Dickus, Captain Happy.
It's a sleepy Monday morning. Maybe a wolf call or two would help.
Tom Beach, your WJBK. Yeah, brother.
A big D.
4 o'clock. Get it on home, boy.
This is Dave Carr. Good morning to you.
A lot of modern country music for you.
DJ Cook, you're on nuts.
On W4, presenting Answers Worth Knowing and Gardens Worth Hoeing.
Here's Jerry Reed at 904 W4 with Joey and Jerry Sims.
Stereo 106.
W4 Stereo.
Island. I'm Bob Bartlett from 100FA.
On a Monday in Detroit with a late Tate, let's play on. There is one man in the history of Detroit radio who has come and left this market numerous times. He is colorful and controversial Tom Clay. We'd like to share with you one of his most moving moments.
Our words and music with yours truly, Tom Clay.
If Mom and Dad happens to be listening right now, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you can give me an answer. Or maybe you're looking for it yourself. Whatever happened to the nights we used to sit on the front porch playing initials of movie stars? Whatever happened to hide-go-seek? What was it you'd say when you wanted everybody to come in? Holy, holy, in free? Or something like, anyone near my goal is it? Whatever happened to laughing? To loving? Whatever happened to walking fences? Who invented stuffed shirts? Whatever happened to that haunted house on your street? Or the house that you better not go near it because a mean old man is inside and he'll put a spell on you if you go near him? Whatever happened to the excitement of your first love? Or whatever happened to, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Whatever happened to the stray dog you brought home but couldn't keep? Whatever happened to the penny that you were given for the collection at church? What's happened to when it rained, how you'd build a little dam in the street and wade barefooted and build the little boats out of matchsticks and paper? Whatever happened to the water that came down the eaves trough and made the most beautiful clear puddle with all the exciting little stones? And what about going through a meadow and trying to find stones and finding one and say, boy, I'll bet this is a very valuable thing, and putting it in a box? Whatever happened to skipping stones on water? Whatever happened to sugar sandwiches? You'd pour sugar on a piece of bread and put water on it so it wouldn't fall off? Whatever happened to catching bees in a jar or catching lightning bugs? Whatever happened to flipping bubblegum cards or breaking a bottle of milk and being afraid to go home? Whatever happened to jumping off the railing of a porch into leaves? For that matter, whatever happened to porches? Whatever happened to good night, stars, I love you? Or whatever happened to starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight? Whatever happened to Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy, or that program called Grand Central Station? Whatever happened to cops and robbers, or cowboys and Indians, or rubber band guns that you'd make yourself, or saving the tinfoil in a great big ball and turning it in because you'd get a seeing eye dog for someone? Or was that cigarette wrappers? Where's that schoolboy? Where is that schoolboy that used to be me? When the world was young, only yesterday. As the aging hand of time runs her fingers through my hair, all I can think of is, whatever happened to, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Whatever happened to Lollipop?
This, then, is the history of Detroit radio, spanning the last 20 years of Motor City Broadcasting. The history of Detroit radio was written and produced by Arthur R. Volo, Jr. Special thanks for their participation in the production of this documentary go to Robin Seymour, Fred Wolf, Spex Howard, Johnny Randall, Mike Rivers, Chuck Richards, Scott Regan, Gary Stevens, Frank Maruca, Mort Crowley, Bob Green, Jerry Goodwin, J. Michael Wilson, Joe Baccarella, Clark Reed, Mark Avery, Mike Scott, and Ron Rose, Robin Walker, Jim Edwards, Paul Drew, Frank Brody, Rosalie Trumley, Charlie Van Dyke, Armin Balladino, Alden Deal, Dick Booth, Neil McIntyre, Wayne H.B. Phillips, Dave Schaefer, Ed Bush, Don Z, Betty Lou Peterson, Ernie Durham, Jim Curtis, Tom Shannon, Bob Edgington, Mark Holden, Harvey Grace, Jim Hampton, Ken Draper, Ray Otis, Bill Dalzell, Norm Miller, Bill Williams, J.P. McCarthy, Dick Purton, Al Burke, Tom Ryan, Tom Dean, Dave Carr, Robert Koch, Dale R. Leslie, John Dew, Ira J. Cook, Paul Winter, Joey Ryan, Tony Ryan, Casey Kasem, Harold Tanner, Garnett Sparks, Gordon Sparks, Richard Jones, and to John Small, Bob Bartlett, Bob Chenault, Harry Walker, Jim Tate, Tom Clay, John Detz, Dick Kernan, Bill Lockridge, Dan Gooding, Joey Reynolds. Also Jim Donahue, Bob Green, Chris Cantis, Jim Grant, Tom Kerkorian. The management of station WAAM and WEMU at Eastern Michigan University.
ERQ has news for you.
For WDRQ-FM, this is Richard Mott.
For you.